Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. Now we have a question from Joanna, who has CFS-ME, and she says, I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm in such a bad way and I'm not sure who else to turn to. I've heard many wonderful things about LDN and thought it was worth a go as a last resort. I have severe CFS-ME and I've also really bad adrenal fatigue. This happened after a doctor gave me too high a dose of steroids called hydrocortisone, which shut down my adrenal glands. I've read online that with adrenal fatigue, LDN can't help and you can't take it as it worsens the adrenal fatigue and perhaps lowers cortisol. I just wondered if there might be any doctors who'd be able to help me understand LDN and adrenal fatigue. I've been bedridden with CFS-ME and I'm desperate to try LDN, but I'm terrified of worsening my adrenal fatigue.
Yes, well, she's pretty bad with ME, and adrenal fatigue now is not something I'm that familiar with, but and she got it from from too many steroids, but it didn't bounce back. I mean, I don't know if she has any adrenal function now. She must have some, and I mean, you know, with her condition, it might be useful to try low-dose naltrexone for a little while and just see. It's to me, you know, the effect on the adrenal glands is not anyway remarkable as far as I'm aware. But I mean, if her adrenal glands are low functioning, well, then she won't be functioning greatly anyway. And I don't know if there's anything that can be done about that. But, you know, maybe she can be given some hormones or something. I mean, her specialist should be able to advise her on that. But the LDN, given her ME, can be useful. We know that, but I'm not guaranteeing it, but it's worth a try. And because it's so low dose, I mean, the problems with it are nil practically, you know.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have a question here from Tina, and she says, can LDN treat ALS? Please, could you give me more information?
Yes, as far as I know, it can. I think one of the earlier patients that Dr. Bihari had was treated with LDN was ALS. And I mean, so as far as I'm aware, yes, it can be used.
Okay, thank you. Now we have a question from Gretchen, and she takes LDN for MS. She said, I've been taking 3 milligrams for 2 years with great results, and have recently increased to 4.5. She doesn't say why she increased. And she's saying, how long should I wait to see if this dose is the right dose for me, or should I go back to 3?
Well, it's a good question. You know, she did so well on 3. And that, I mean, is she doing any better on 4.5? She doesn't say. So, I mean, maybe 3 is the dose for her. A lot of women, and it depends a bit on weight and general body chemistry, but, I mean, you know, 3 does seem to help a fair number of people, and they don't have to go up to 4.5. But generally, I think as the range of LDN is from 0 to 4.5. Above that, you're getting into different territory, and that's what Dr. Bihari said too. Now, for things like cancer, maybe it's a higher dose sometimes, but for all autoimmune conditions, I use 1 to 4.5. But if you're very good on 3 and you're not, you know, there's been no big change on 4.5, I mean, she's good on 3. What you're good on, you stay on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good advice. Thank you. We have a question from BJ, and they say, any chance LDN could worsen LADA, latent autoimmune diabetes in adults?
Oh, that's a hard one now. Latent autoimmune diabetes.
Mm.
I mean, How latent is it? Are their blood sugars high? Are they being advised to do something? I mean, diet is the main primary factor, so you know that has to be looked at, and weight and things like that. I can't really say that using LDN is going to be of any great benefit there. You know, it's the other matters have to be taken first before you consider LDN. You know, but. So has he done that? You know, that's important.
No, that's all I had. That was the whole question. But on a side note, I was given a lot of steroids back in 2000 and 2001, and I blew up. I gained loads of weight, and I mean loads of weight, and I became then a type 2 diabetic because I was so ill. I wasn't very mobile. And I was on metformin for 6 years, I think, because I was diet controlled to start with, and then I had to take the metformin for 6 years. I've changed my diet completely after many talks with Dr. Tom O'Brien. So I'm gluten-free, dairy-free, processed sugar-free, processed food-free. So everything is fresh, home-cooked. None of the additives of anything. And would you believe my last two blood tests have come back that I'm now a pre-diabetic? So my doctor said, once you have the label as a diabetic, you'll always be a diabetic, but you are now a diabetic in remission.
Yes. good. Well, I've had somewhat similar experience myself. You know, I was diagnosed as pre-diabetic because I had... sleep apnea, apparently. And I mean, I took some treatment for that, and lo and behold, my sugar is back to normal. So there are other conditions that provoke rise of blood sugar, you know, and make you pre-diabetic, you know, or diabetic even. Mm. So, I mean, the primary condition has to be treated too. That's important, you know.
Mm-hmm. But
and diet, of course, is very important, like you've just said, you know.
Exactly. And it is, I know people say, oh, that's, you know, really radical, I couldn't possibly do that. Yes, it is hard to start with, but it becomes easier because you reprogram yourself as to what you can and can't eat. And I don't look at foods now. I mean, let's say croissants. I absolutely love croissants, or I did. But now I can look at it and think, oh, that's another thing. I used to have acid reflux, and I used to have to take an antacid. Can't remember the brand name now. One every day to stop the acid, because it was awful if I ate certain foods, and bread and croissants would really affect me. But I have no acid reflux, and I don't have to take that medication either. So that's two medications I've managed to drop, which can't be bad, can it?
Enough. That's good.
We have a question from Benty, who says, I use GABA to help calm LDN triggered anxiety in the afternoon. I take LDN in the AM. Is there anything that would be helpful non-drug wise for MTHFR?
Yes. Gee, I'm not sure, but something like meditation or, you know, those kind of techniques can be helpful, or yoga, exercise, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why she's getting that in the afternoon. Does she take any exercise? Exercise is very important for your endorphins too, you know?
No, she doesn't say. But she does have another question, and she said, herxing is such an issue for me. Detox MTHFR issues. What can I do to help?
Sorry, what did she say, the first thing there?
Herxing.
Yeah. Gee, I'm not sure. I'm not an authority on those things, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Okay, well, we'll leave that one. We will just go to a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Today's radio show is sponsored by Merlin Pharmacy in Galway. They are Ireland's leading LDN pharmacy, offering trusted advice and genuine service. Their pharmacists have extensive experience in all aspects of LDN treatment. If you have a query, they are happy to help. Either email info@ifarm.ie or go to www.ifarm.ie. which is spelled IPHARM. The LDN Research Trust has an LDN Vimeo channel. I have interviewed over 550 LDN prescribers, researchers, pharmacists and patients from around the world for many conditions. You can find the link on the LDN Research Trust website. If you'd like to be interviewed sharing your experience, please email me, linda@ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. To listen to individual radio shows and interviews, go to www.mixcloud.com/LDNRT. I'll repeat that, it's www.mixcloud.com/LDNRT. Okay, welcome back. Now, where do you stand, Dr. Crowley, on tramadol? We have many doctors and pharmacists around the world that have conflicting opinions. Some say that even though tramadol is a synthetic opioid, it can't be taken with LDN, where others say because it's a synthetic, it can be taken with LDN. What's your stance on that?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and I don't have any absolute view, but I mean, I can understand why the question is being asked, because morphine, codeine, heroin are definitely out, and codeine, of course, is in a lot of cough bottles, etc. But when you come to tramadol, which is synthetic, you know, there is the question, is it really? But, I mean, if it does the job of blocking the opiate centers, you know, or it's involved in that area, you wonder. So, I mean, I prefer not to have people on tramadol, but some people are because their pains are bad. But hopefully I'd be asking them if they take LDN, you know, and if they get improvement, well, then reduce the tramadol and go off it if possible, you know?
Okay. We have another fibromyalgia and candida question from Amy. She says, 3 years ago, I had huge gastric candida infection. I'm not sure if this is caused by my fibromyalgia or if I got the infection due to low immune caused by the fibromyalgia. I treated the infection and take probiotics every day and eat carefully, and it's never returned. I'm keen to try LDN, but I have concerns with the candida might return. Is this likely to happen? And if so, when LDN is supposed to support my immune system?
Yes, well, candida, and she had it treated. I mean, I don't really think it has anything to do with the LDN. It's there. But, I mean, the bowel system is, you know, disordered in a lot of these conditions, apparently. And, you know, candida may arise, but she's been treated for that and she's on the probiotics, which is very important to keep taking those. I personally don't think that the LDN per se is directly related to the candida. So, I mean, you know, she can take it as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have another question here from Ellie, who's got possible lupus. It's still being investigated. She says, hi there, I'm wondering if you can help. I'm on a small dose of LDN, she doesn't actually say what, and have been experiencing muscle twitching, which seemed to increase in frequency when I upped the dose. My prescriber doesn't know why this is happening, and I wondered if there was any reports on this or any ideas. It's been ongoing for a few months now.
Yes, well, lupus is a severe disease, which can be progressive, and my experience with a few cases of it is that it has worked dramatically well in one case particularly, and you know, person got better, so to speak, and is out and about and active. But I mean, muscle fasciculation, with LDN. I mean, they seem to be experiencing that, and that may be particularly in relation to their own case. She doesn't say whether it's just there initially, but or is it continuing all the time, and certainly when she ups the dose, it increases. So it does seem to be related to LDN. That's a problem, and maybe particular to her, and if it doesn't go, well, then it is a problem. She may have to stop it, but talk to her prescriber for that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. We have a question here from Ruth, and her husband has depression and dementia, and she says, would LDN benefit my husband? And if so, how would we take it?
Yeah, well, I don't have any great experience in using LDN in this, but some of the contributors at the conference have and gave very good talks on it. I mean, it's well known, of course, that the endorphins are your own antidepressants. And when they're low, well then, and if you boost them with LDN, it tends to improve. So, you know, it is certainly understandable clinically how depression might be helped a bit. It definitely improves fatigue and mood in most people when they're taking it. So, you know, that's good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, PSC. I was diagnosed with PSC, this is from Nicola, in 2014, and I'd like to get a prescription of LDN. Is it true that LDN works with PSC?
Well, I don't know. I haven't treated any cases of it. So I'm sorry, I can't answer that one, you know.
Okay, that's fine. We've got a pain question here. Any comments on trying LDN for idiopathic small nerve fibre neuropathy? She says it may be complex regional pain syndrome. Any experience whether LDN might possibly help?
Yes, well, that's interesting. Yeah, it might do, because the microglial cells in the peripheral nerves are the ones affected by LDN, both in the brain and in the peripheral nerves. And you see, that can be helpful. And of course, your endorphins are your own painkillers, so that might help too. But so there may be a double approach to it, and it is worth trying LDN in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Now we have next a question from Elaine, who has Hashimoto's, and she said, for those of us taking LDN with Hashimoto's, what signs should we look for as an indicator that we need to lower our thyroid medication, and by how much should we lower our dose to be on the safe side? What examples of signs and symptoms that others have experienced when going hyper on LDN?
Yes, well, no, that's a good question. And I'm not that I don't have cases of Hashimoto's really, but I've read about it and it is used and it can be useful. But I mean, yes, you can get into a hyper situation. Well, then, of course, that's a problem because your behavior may become noticeably different and you become hyper, as I say. So what dose then, you know, it needs to be downgraded. Now, the problem with thyroid function is assessing the blood tests, the ordinary blood tests, the TSH and the T3 and T4, they're not that reliable when it comes to the use of LDN. So, you know, you'd want to be going to an endocrinologist to assess the whole thing properly, because it's a complex situation with the thyroid, you know. And I mean, as I say, the blood tests are, when you get them done in general practice, it's they're not that reliable. I mean, you can read this. I mean, a number of articles in your book, you know, relate to this, and it's quite difficult really to assess that, I'm afraid.
We have another MS question from Carrie. She says, I've noticed that some people take LDN at night right before bedtime and some take it in the mornings. What's the big difference between taking it morning versus evening? Would I be losing all the benefits of LDN by switching to AM when I wake up?
Yes, good question, and more people are asking this. Now, the reason that it was given by Dr. Bihari at night is because he had been measuring the endorphins in, as I say, up to 1,000 patients. And he knew that in the ordinary course of events, in the ordinary person, that your endorphins are produced during sleep, 90% of them, between 4 and 6 a.m. if you're on an average night's sleep. So, I mean, that's 90%. There's another 10%, 15% produced in the mid-afternoon, apparently. That's how endorphins are produced. So if you give low-dose naltrexone, what it does, it blocks the receptors for a couple of hours. The body notices this. It says, oh, we need more endorphins. And that's how you get the increase in endorphins, up to 200, 300%. So that's why he did it at that time and why I still do it. But it doesn't suit everybody. So people do take it in the morning. And then they wondered if it was working the same. Now, I had my doubts about that. But recent research indicates, apparently, that the benefits are the same now. Don't ask me too much about that, the chemistry of that. But, I mean, you know, that's what we're hearing. And so more doctors who are involved with it are saying it's okay to take the morning dose, but I still prefer the idea of the evening dose because of the physiology of the endorphins, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Carrie goes on, I've been taking LDN for almost 4 years now, and I honestly didn't notice a big difference when I wake up in the morning energy-wise. You know, I have given it a good try. But when I take it in the mornings, I have tons of energy and I'm clear-headed. Obviously, I don't want to do anything that would hurt me, but I really like the way I feel by taking it in the morning. Now, there is no harm in her doing that, is there?
Absolutely none. She's a good ad, actually, for the morning dose.
Yes.
So, you know, that's very good. Just keep doing it. If it works, keep doing it, you know.
So she also asks, do you have any feedback on double dosing, taking it both night and morning?
No, I wouldn't recommend it because the research initially and up to recently indicates that for autoimmune conditions, you know, 1 to 5 milligrams, i.e. 4.5 maxes, I see it, is what low-dose naltrexone is. Now, if you're going into other conditions like cancer, it may be a bit higher dose. Some people take 9 or 10 milligrams. But, I mean, for autoimmune conditions, the low dose is 1 to 4.5.
Mm-hmm. I would say, though, however, and maybe this is where she's getting it from, there are a few doctors that are prescribing LDN for ME/CFS and have found that LDN does give them a vast energy boost. And some of them are prescribing it night and morning, double dosing. And yeah. I'm told that if you are stable on, say, 3 milligrams, that is your optimum dose. If you then take that at night and in the morning, your body doesn't see it as 6 milligrams. It sees it as 3 milligrams twice because the first dose is out of your system before the second dose comes. And I've spoken to many people that do double dosing, but only I haven't spoken to anybody who take it for anything other than CFS, ME, and they find that that gives them more energy.
Yes, well, fair point. I am prepared to accept that, particularly for ME, that a double dose may be the thing to do. I personally don't have experience of doing it that way, but, I mean, that's more recent kind of practice, and, mm-hmm. I mean, it may evolve into full-time practice for ME, you know. I can see the benefits, you know.
Yes. Okay. We have a neuropathy question here from Elizabeth, who has it in her hands and her feet. And she says, can LDN be helpful in neuropathy in hands and feet? I take 4.5 milligrams and I started on 3 milligrams 3 years ago. It hasn't helped tremendously. I've been taking 5 milligrams now for a year and I don't feel as good. Should I now go back to a lower dose?
Yes, I think so. She should go back to a lower dose. As I said in an earlier question, the LDN affects the microglia, which are the cells in the peripheral nerves. And usually if they're affecting muscles and things like that, that it's more noticeable. If it's just pain or sensory problems, you know, it should be noticeable, it should be helpful, but if it's not, I'm not sure what she should do. But certainly she should go back to a lower dose, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And we'll have one last question. It's from Karen, and she says her question is to do with inflammation. I'm about to be tested for Lyme disease, and will taking LDN affect the testing?
Not the Lyme disease. And Lyme disease can be difficult to detect properly. The chronic Lyme disease in particular, acute Lyme disease is different and can be treated. Lyme disease, now remember, is an infection and it needs to be treated with antibiotics. But if it's a chronic situation, it's very difficult to get those antibiotics into the cell to treat it. And people in Ireland have been going to Germany and Czechoslovakia and America for treatment in special centres. The Armin Labs, for instance, in Germany, where they get multiple antibiotics, and they do seem to improve. I mean, I know a few people in this area who have gone. Now, the Lyme disease is difficult to assess properly, but I mean, after treatment, you know, the LDN can be helpful. That's true.
Mm-hmm. But would it hinder the results if you're taking LDN?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
No, okay. I mean, we have people asking as well who are in occupations where they're testing for drugs in your system. They do random blood tests. And that one of the questions we're always being asked is, would LDN show up on a blood test for drugs?
Well, I'm not sure. It depends on the laboratory. I mean, you have to specifically put it into your briefing test, you know, that, you know, you're testing for 12 potential toxins or whatever. I mean, they have their routines. Now, I mean, unless they put LDN into that, it won't come up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're looking for somebody who's taking illegal drugs, I mean, LDN wouldn't show up on there at all, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
No. Okay. No. Well, it's been amazing having you with us, and thank you so much for answering so many questions and putting you on the spot like that. It's been amazing. Thank you very much.
No problem. Okay. That's great, and I'm delighted to do it. So take care of it, everyone there, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye. Today's radio show is sponsored by Merlin Pharmacy in Galway. They are Ireland's leading LDN pharmacy, offering trusted advice and genuine service. Their pharmacists have extensive experience in all aspects of LDN treatment. If you have a query, they are happy to help. Either email info@ifarm.ie or go to www.ifarm.ie, which is spelled I-P-H-A-R-M. The LDN Research Trust is very proud of the LDN book, which was launched at the LDN 2016 conference in Orlando and has been a great success, not only for the medical profession, but for the patients wanting to learn more about low-dose naltrexone. Full details can be found on the homepage of the LDN Research Trust. Discounts are available on bulk orders of the book, which is 10 or more. For details, email me, linda@ldnrt.org, telling me how many copies you wish and where you live. I will then be able to get Chelsea Green Publishing to contact you. Special offer from Chelsea Green Publishing. Free shipping for US non-bookstore retailers on orders of 25 books or more. For full details, email me, linda@ldnrt.org. A diary date, the LDN 2017 conference, to be held the 22nd to the 24th of September in Portland, Oregon. To check out the details, go to www.ldn2017.com. www.adrenalfatigue2017.com. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.